Whether you're dreaming of a retirement with sand between your toes and a cold one in your hand, hitting the road to chase the winds of adventure, or spending time with your grandchildren, this show is intended to help you get there. Welcome to Coasting in Retirement with your host, Josh Knoll. You've worked too hard throughout your career to spend your retirement worrying. So sit back, kick up your feet, because we've got lots of financial tips and tricks to share to help you get exactly where you want to be. Here's Josh.
Hello, Lower Alabama. Hello, Gulf Coast. Welcome in. Welcome to Coasting in Retirement. Thanks for joining us today. Josh Knoll here, alongside co-host Michelle Lee Melton-Knoll. Peanut butter to my jelly sandwich. Well, you don't like that. You don't like peanut butter and jelly.
I do not.
That's weird.
I like a peanut butter and honey.
Do you like peanut butter and chocolate?
Yes.
Okay, very good. We'll go with that then.
Which your kids do not, which is strange.
It is strange. So
you, all those Valentines are yours.
Well, good to see you again. We're back in Coastal College's recording studio.
Survived another Mardi Gras.
Yes, we did.
Woo!
Yeah, we didn't. You didn't get your eye almost put out like last time.
Oof.
Did you, before we get to the show, did you see all the kerscuffle around Mardi Gras people getting in trouble for throwing stuff?
Yes, I saw that. Yeah. And I'm glad they are because
you
I almost lost
scratch.
An eyeball yes. last year.
Yeah, I know some people say it's kind of a rite of passage, but it's gotten
ridiculous.
Out of hand.
Yeah,
we've been doing this a while.
Just be having fun, not getting hurt.
You all know better than that. You're
exactly.
grown adults.
And don't be shooting up people either, Mobile.
Come on. All right. Well, we are back here in a brand new show, obviously, post Mardi Gras, beautiful downtown Fairhope, ready to put on another great show for those of you tuning in. Listeners, Michelle and I are here today to discuss financial topics relevant to those of you in or near retirement, living your best life along our part of the Gulf Coast.
Here's
what, I'm a little hoarse today.
They might be on the Gulf Coast.
I've been talking all day. Well, here's what we got in store. First segment, deep dive on our topic of the day. Second segment, about 30 minutes past the hour, that's headlines of the week. And then roughly 50-ish minutes past the hour, stick around for our third segment. We call it Joshua's Crystal Ball and Big Mouth. Quick background on me, for those of you new to the show. Again, my name is Josh Knoll. I'm a fee-based financial advisor. I hold my FINRA Series 65 securities license, and I'm the owner of Gulf Coast Financial Advisors. That is a 100% locally owned, 100% independent investment management and financial planning firm. We have offices in Fairhope, Orange Beach, and Mobile. You can find more information on me and the team at Gulf Coast Financial Advisors by visiting our website, gulfcoastfa.com. Or feel free to give us a call anytime, 251-327-2124. Now, if you just mix that contact info, grab a pen, grab some paper. We're going to repeat it many times throughout the show. All right, Michelle.
Yeah.
For today's topic, we're going to compare the real-life returns of annuities versus advisory investment accounts. I'm going to spell that out again.
Okay.
We're going to pull data from real annuity contracts. Of course, we're going to hide the names and any information that might identify who the policyholder is. And we're going to compare that to the performance of advisory investment accounts. To you savvy listeners that know the different types of annuities, our examples that we're going to use today will not include multi-year guaranteed annuities or MIGAs. It's not going to include any deferred income annuities or Michelle's favorite, SPIAs, single premium immediate.
Deferred income annuities. I was wondering what DIA is later on.
Yeah, DIA, but you like the
SPIA,
right? Now, for our annuity test case, we're going to use the returns pulled from a couple of contracts for annuities that are called fixed index annuities. And the reason we're concentrating on that particular product, it's something that all of you pre-retirees and retirees should be familiar with because it is the product du jour. Is that say that properly?
Yes, of the day.
It is the product du jour of my industry.
Parlez-vous français.
Yeah, if any of y'all, we'll talk more about this later, but if you've been invited to a retirement dinner seminar, it is a 10 out of 10 chance that there's going to be a conversation around fixed index annuities.
Correct.
The fixed index annuity examples are going to be from contracts that I'm privy to. But again, we're going to be extra careful to speak in broad terms and reveal zero personal information about any of the particular policyholders. These are actually policies where I've come on later down the road as servicing advisor in a couple of cases trying to help people kind of get out of.
So you inherited them.
Trying to get people out of a situation they didn't understand what they're getting into. But we're going to take those returns and compare them to what an investor should have seen over the past couple of years. And for those of y'all listening, to be fair to the modest returns typically of an annuity, the numbers that we're going to compare them to are going to be conservative and moderately risked advisory portfolios. Does it all make sense?
Yes.
So we're going to try to be apples to apples as much as we can, as much as you can with these things.
Copy
now,
that.
For any of you, one last thing. For any of you compliance personnel, regulators, competitors listening, I want to be 1,000% clear on something. As it relates to any performance data that we discuss, whether it's the insurance contracts and especially around the advisory contracts or accounts, the listener must understand that any past performance we reference is zero indication of any future performance, okay? If your investment manager, broker, advisor did even a decent job these last couple of years, you should have seen some nice returns in your accounts, but that's no guarantee that it's going to continue. And that, and any whatever number we reference, we are not saying that that is a number that's going to continue on. We don't know. We're just using the up-to-date performance of these to give you some awesome comparisons. And my opinion, what you will see is not only should your advisory accounts perform strongly, but on these fixed index annuity accounts or contracts that we're going to analyze, they should have performed decently too, but we'll let the numbers speak for, you know, Mark Twain once said, when it comes to politics and a lot of insurance product sales pitches, I don't know if you know he said that too.
I did not.
But he said, Mark Twain said, when it comes to politics and insurance illustrations, there's lies, there's darned lies.
There's darned.
Well, he said something different.
Right.
And then there's statistics. So we're going to focus on the statistics. Before we get into our fixed index and new examples, I thought it might be good for our future AI overlords to give us a little definition, okay? A fixed index annuity, and I hate this word in the annuity world, but this is what Jim and I gave me. It's a hybrid because it combines both the features.
Isn't everything these days? Right,
everything's a hybrid. It combines the features of a fixed annuity, which has a guaranteed rate, with the kind of features of a variable annuity, which is more market length growth. That's why you have guys that call them hybrid, even though there's technically no such thing as a hybrid annuity. There's typically on a fixed index annuity some type of 0% floor. There's going to be some type of index that they are tracking. Usually it's something like an S&P 500 index, and they're going to track the performance. It is never a fixed index annuity. It is a fixed product. Even though it's got some features of variable products, there is actually no direct investment in the stock market. It just tracks indexes. And as part of that index that it tracks, usually it gives you a certain part of the gain of that, the ceiling or the catch, if you will, for protecting you from having a 0% floor of losses. You're never going to participate in all of the upper limits of whatever the gain has. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And just quickly.
Floor fixed part. Ceiling's index part.
And then the ceiling is really fixed by three different ways. And a lot of times you see a mix of this. You'll have what's called a cap where it'll say, let's say the cap of gain is 6%. And even if the index that your annuity is tracking grows by 10, 20, 30%.
You
only get six. There's a participation rate where you get, let's say if the market's up 10%, you have a 50% participation rate. That means you get 5%, right? And then there's the spread, which I don't see as much, but you know, again, I usually am just reading these things after the fact. But the spread is whatever the insurance company keeps. So let's say the spread is 2%, market grows by 10%, you get 8%. All that math makes sense?
Yeah, math,
okay.
Maths.
Right. Okay, very good. Statistics. Now, for our comparison, in the world of wealth management, we're going to be looking at advisory investment accounts, also known as fee-based or managed accounts. And this would be from not only a direct comparison, contrast comparison to an insurance product, but it's also an alternative to kind of your old school buy and sell brokerage model. So think of it this way. In a traditional brokerage account, you pay, generally speaking, you pay a commission every time you make some kind of transaction. In an advisory account, you're not really paying for the transaction. It's not transactional based. You're paying for the overall management and guidance of the investments in that account, okay?
All right.
There are three kind of core pillars to all advisory accounts. One is there's the fiduciary standard, which means that your advisor is obligated by law to operate in your best interest.
Mm-hmm.
There's the fee structure. A lot of these you'll see, we do a lot of assets under management. We'll explain more of that later. And then for most of these advisory accounts, there's going to be discretion exercised by the advisor on the investment standpoint. Make sure you don't ever get that word mixed up with custody. You should not have a independent or an individual financial advisor custodying your funds.
Sure, that's another episode.
That was another episode we did. That's when shenanigans happen. But they typically have discretion where they can make buy and sell trades without your permission on every single one. Okay?
Got it.
We good on everything?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Michelle, so here's how I want to do this. Since we define the two sides of it, right?
Right.
I want you to envision that there are two advisors. They're stepping into a boxing ring to fight for your business.
Okay.
Okay. In one corner is an advisor, quote-unquote advisor, that's life insurance license only,
uh-huh.
or maybe they have their securities license, but they still put a significant amount of their clients' assets into fixed index annuities.
Okay.
Right? In the other corner is going to be a fee-based or a fee-only financial advisor. The insurance guy, one is going to pitch you a fixed index annuity is what, you know, a lot of times they'll call them bond alternatives.
Okay.
And you savvy investors have sat through a pitch, you recognize that term. One is going to pitch you an advisory investment account. So who's going to win? Is there going to be a knockout? Is there going to be a draw? Let's get ready to rumble, right?
Bring it.
All right. So first up, the fixed index annuity sales guy or gal, although I'll tell you all, it's almost always guys. I have no idea why.
Ego. That's why.
I'm sure that I think in Auburn is the only billboard I've ever seen for a personal injury attorney that's a female. All the other ones I've seen are male.
There are lots. The Mitchell Law Firm and
are they
like
female?
Offered, yeah.
Yeah, but most of them are males. And for whatever reason, the annuity shops are very male dominated.
All right. Well.
Who knows why? Anyway, you ask the fixed index annuity guy to show you the performance over the past year or two on a couple of annuity contracts that he sold. He says, hey, let me show you an illustration of what may happen in the future with your annuity returns.
May happen.
What do you say?
May happen.
Yeah, you say no. I want to know what has happened with the contracts.
Show me the money.
Show you the money. That's right. So you finally get him to relent, and here's where he starts. All
okay.
right. First up is a fixed index annuity that was sold a couple years ago.
All right.
Again, I'm going to be very broad on these terms.
Okay.
The entire premium balance is tracking what's called an S&P 500 index annual point to point with a cap.
Okay.
You got that?
Whatever.
Let's take it piece by piece. The S&P 500 index is a common measure used in the stock market.
Sure, I'm familiar with it, yes.
Yeah, the Standard & Poor's picks 500 companies they think best represents an overall slice of the market, and they use that to track the performance of the market, right?
Correct.
Then annual point-to-point means that this annuity contract is only going to have a crediting event on every one-year anniversary.
Okay.
So if you were to look at the balance during that 12 months, it might give you a kind of a projected or estimated balance, but it's not going to give you the true balance until you hit the one-year, every one-year anniversary.
All right.
And then it's got a cap. Okay. And we talked about caps
earlier. Yeah.
So in this particular example, the cap is 5.75%.
Okay.
Which we learned earlier means the policyholder's gains are capped at 5.75%.
No matter what. Yeah.
No matter how high the S&P 500 goes in any particular year.
Okay.
And on the reverse side of it, they should be capped at 0% loss if the S&P 500 is down. Understood?
Yep.
This particular policy was originally funded with about $750,000.
Okay.
The annuity has gained about $23,000 over the past 2 years, 24 months.
Okay.
Which in simple math means there's a total return of around 3%, or divide that by two, that's roughly 1.5% per year. Okay?
Yeah.
The index, the S&P 500 that this contract is tracking, the S&P 500, was up well over 20% for both of these 2 years, 2023 and 2024, which means that the total return of an S&P 500 index fund would have been over 40% during a time period versus a total return of 3% for this fixed index annuity. How does that make you feel?
Boo, hiss.
Okay, that's not great, right?
It's not great.
Okay. Now, the argument that the guy would make is say, well, what if
they didn't even make it to the cap.
They didn't even make it to the cap. And we're going to talk more about that.
Okay.
And we're going to explain why this thing that had a cap of 5.75% and we had 2 years of really well-performing S&P 500, yet it couldn't even chin the bar on the cap. Why is that? We're going to answer that question with this next annuity example, okay?
All right.
So and the reason it isn't is because there are all kinds of fees they're going to be deducted from these gains. One of the biggest ones that you're normally going to see is an income rider fee.
Oh.
And the ones I've seen are usually around 1%, or they'll be like 1.1 or 1.2. And what that does is that more or less comes directly off your gain.
Okay.
All right. So let's say you had, in this particular scenario, if you'd had a 5.75% cap crediting, if you had that income rider at 1%, that would have come off the total return.
All right, I understand.
Now, to be fair to this particular contract, again, no names named, but it does have a robust income rider, and which it leads me to make this point for the first but not the last time. If this particular, and I know how this annuity was sold, if this particular annuity had been sold as a way to generate some decent level of future income in retirement, fine. I mean, honestly, if you look at those numbers, I'm telling you, probably could have accomplished the same thing with a SPIA or a DIA, single premium annuity or deferred income annuity. And in those two scenarios, the illustrations with those particular products have to be much more accurate with their income projection,
okay,
particularly a SPIA, because it makes no sense if you're buying a product that's going to start paying you income within usually 30 days. If that number can't be accurate, they can't get anything right.
Right.
So that number is usually to the penny. And deferred income annuities a lot of times are to the penny, too, depending on when, how far out you you push the income start. Got it?
All right.
Okay. Now, in this one, with most fixed index annuities, this annuity was sold as having significant upside potential with no downside risk. Or in other words, you know, again, savvy listeners, you've heard this. Zero is your hero, Michelle.
Ditch that zero.
Well, so here's the trade-off. Here's the problem. The 1.5% annual return on this annuity, that's downside. Especially we've had inflation north of 3% for much of the past 2 years. I know that we're getting some inflation numbers in, but I hate to tell you all that those inflation numbers that you get in the news have almost every single important piece of daily consumption knocked out of them before they get to you. So just trust me, inflation's higher than what you see in the news. Either anytime you see it, for whatever reason, it has turned into a political statement. Don't know why it has. Okay. But the point being is 1.5% below inflation, you can get those types of returns inside a bank savings account.
That's exactly what it is.
Right. Without a lot of the other stuff, okay?
Right, sure.
All right.
Just
all
sitting
right.
there, not doing anything.
Okay, so the advisor/insurance agent says, hold on, Michelle, let me grab another example.
Okay, I'm ready.
I have no paper to shuffle here. Shuffling paper, right. This annuity, he says, had about $500,000 invested in it a few years ago, and it has made $7,500 over the last 2 years.
Ugh.
All right, now he pulls out his calculator. That means it's made, only made 1.5.
Yeah, still not good math.
It's terrible. It's worse than the other one.
Yeah.
That's barely 0.75% per year.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Wait on. Maybe the index it tracked was down. I need more paper shuffling. That index was the S&P 500, which we already established was up well over 20%.
Yes, it did well.
So, okay, hold on. We got one last thing to hang on to. This particular annuity has a guaranteed minimum withdrawal benefit, GMWB, rider.
Mm-hmm.
Which guarantees the ability to withdraw a set percentage, usually somewhere in the 5 to 10% range, of your initial investment annually for life, regardless of market performance. It protects your principal while allowing for continued market participation liquidity.
All right,
fine. So I'm going to tell you all, folks, a couple things. Those income riders, this GMWB, they can be. We call balls and strikes here. We try to be fair. They can be productive when generating income in retirement. But the problem is I can guarantee you that that's not how this annuity was sold, right? And one of the biggest, I got to get some things off my chest. It's going to be heartburn.
Okay.
Because I know this particular contract because I inherited it.
Soapbox climbing.
I'm getting on it. Get ready. A lot of times, this is terrible, and no one should ever do it. But a lot of times when these annuities are sold, people will tell you that you're getting a guaranteed 7 or 8%, right?
Lies.
It is a lie because what they're snaking around is a lot of times on these income riders, like the one I just mentioned, there will be a guaranteed increase in that rider every year, but that is not
that
return.
You can't guarantee.
Yeah, but that is not return. When people hear guaranteed 7-8%, what they hear is that is a guaranteed return on my
money. Yeah.
What they're actually getting is a guaranteed return of their money. There is a significant difference.
Not same.
Right? And this usually goes in with the pitch that these guys make of all upside and no downside. And I hate to say this, but the illustration was probably more optimistic than 0.7, you know, 0.75% per year. The problem that this particular annuity has and the one before it is if it can't even get to its cap rates now, we may not see back-to-back years of this high a performance of the S&P 500 index for a while,
right?
Which means the actual return of this annuity may be 0%
Ew.
Going forward, and that is a huge inflation risk. And I think you listeners are picking up on what I'm putting down here. If this fixed index annuity and the previous fixed index annuity example were sold as this, capital preservation with potential future income, then fine. but they're not.
Ah.
I've said this many times on the show. My problem is not with the product. It's with how the product is sold. They're sold with all kinds of performance and tax-saving promises that they can rarely keep. All right?
Okay.
We good?
Yeah.
All right. Now, one last thing on these. So savvy listeners that have had these pitched to them, or maybe even some of y'all that bought them, you're saying, well, what about the upfront bonus that we got on the annuity contract? And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with extra money being added. So what they'll do, Michelle, a lot of times, if you buy an annuity, they'll tack on an extra 5, 10, heck, I think sometimes even 20% up to your initial premium, your investment, if you will.
Okay.
So if you got 200 grand you put into annuity, they give you 10% bonus. Now you got 220,000, right?
All right.
They make it out as free money, but I'm going to tell you all, there's no such thing as free money in my industry.
Right.
There's always a burn-off period tied to you keeping the annuity to maturity. And again, if you really want to get my blood boiling again, there are annuity salespeople that will use this. I just had this happen in our practice. A guy came in. There are annuity salespeople that will use a premium bonus as a way to pay the surrender charge on a previous annuity they are replacing that is still in its surrender period. Does that make
shenanigans.
Sense? So they come in and they say, you've got this annuity.
Yeah.
It's still in surrender. There's going to be a charge on it. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. And how they take care of it is by using the premium bonus.
What was the burn-off of this one?
10 years.
Okay. Wow.
10 years.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk about that, too. And the problem, again, the heartburn I have is this particular client that came in with this annuity, pretty savvy guy. He was pretty clear. That was never told to him, and I believe him.
Ooh.
All right? Okay. Now. All right, so we want to be really quick or really fair here on a prior example. Both the annuity example, Michelle just asked it, had long surrender periods, 10 years in both cases, okay? So, Michelle, what I did is I went ahead, we're not going to go into deep dive on it, but I looked at the performance of a handful of 5-year surrender fixed index annuities that I had access to, and I made sure they had similar index tracking, S&P 500, and what I found was very, very enlightening.
Okay.
So remember, the two 10-years we just talked about had a 1.5% annual return average. The other one had 0.75%. On this, I did three contracts. One of them had a total return of 1 year of its pre-new annuity of 7.1%.
Okay.
All right. Another had 4.2%, and a third had 5.3%. These are hard numbers that I can show you where I got the math from.
5-year product.
Yeah. Now, listen, that's still mostly bank CD-like returns, a little bit better, but it's certainly much better than the 10-year annuity examples
sure.
that we use in our deeper analysis. And I think this is a very, very important fact. For those of you all that are considering buying an annuity, understand this. The longer the surrender period, the higher the commission to the person selling it to you, the more the costs associated to the insurance company, i.e., generally speaking, the less return that you're going to do. Human beings will often do what they're incentivized to do, right? Look
right.
at human history. So many annuity salespeople are going to present to you a 10-year surrender period
sure,
or longer as the best choice. When really, it's not necessarily the best choice. It's just what pays them the highest commission.
Okay.
In my opinion, and I feel like Jay Stubbs agrees with me, if you ever buy a fixed index annuity, never buy one with a surrender period past 7 years.
I get it.
Preferably 5 years. You saw the performance differences,
like a sweet
right?
spot. Yep.
Now, as we demonstrated, the performance may suffer the longer the surrender period.
Sure.
And also, too, I've been doing this now, 16, 17 years. The insurance industry changes too much. These products get outdated usually within a few years after they're sold.
Okay.
So it's just too long. All right. Did you forget about the other advisor?
I went down this wormhole.
I think he's snoozing over there. So now, entering the fight, Michelle,
okay.
is your fee-based, your fee-only financial advisor.
Great.
Now, you may ask, why is the fee-based, fee-only guy coming in, why is he so nerdy looking compared to the fancy car driving, expensive watch wearing, tailored suit sporting insurance agent that's trying to convince you to buy a fixed index annuity? Why does your fee-based advisor wear clothes from Walmart and drive cash-only cars?
Because he has 3 kids.
Because the insurance-based advisor / agent is in sales, and your fee-for-service, i.e. me, advisor, is not. Your fee-for-service advisor doesn't accept commissions on security-based products. They don't swap annuities to generate new commissions because on that side, generally speaking, they can't receive them anyway. They don't make hyperbolic statements about what direction the stock market is heading, good or bad. A lot of times bad is what helps sell these index annuities.
Mm.
This fee-for-service advisor is in the business of providing
fiduciary-based
financial advice and guidance. So when you ask your fee-for-service advisor for performance numbers, He says fine, but he says, let me talk in all caps. Past performance is no indication of future performance. And more importantly, our firm leads with financial planning. So if performance is your only concern, here's a list of brokers that would be happy to talk to you.
Got it.
Okay. So with that said, you know, folks are looking for an answer. Even you folks that were invested in conservative or moderate portfolios, you should have seen at double-digit modest returns over the last couple of years. And again, there's good advisors, there's good fund managers, but a lot of it comes down to asset allocation and keeping things efficient. And if you had the right asset allocation, you almost could not miss on what has happened in the broad market over the last couple of years. You should have had at least double-digit returns, even if you were moderately invested. If you didn't, then something is off, and you should probably give us a call. Does that mean the market is going to keep ripping? Of course not. But positive gain years in the stock market far outweigh negative down years in the market. Do you know that, Michelle?
Yes.
Yes. It's just that the down market years get a lot more press.
Yeah, they get attention.
Right. And they also get a lot more attention
just
from
like news.
Yeah, they get a lot more attention from annuity salespeople trying to convince you to be scared of the stock market.
Nah.
So, folks, don't be scared of long-term investing. Be more scared of losing all of your purchasing power in retirement. That is the true threat. All right, Michelle. So we're going to sum up this fight.
Okay.
We had 1 to 1.5% annual returns versus double-digit returns. We had confusing insurance contract language versus a transparent fee. We had high fees and commissions versus a modest level fee. We had cattle call, fancy steak dinner seminars versus building a deep personal and professional relationship. We had high-pressure sales tactics versus collaborative team approach. Who wins?
The nerdy person.
Hold on. We need it louder. We can't hear you.
Nerdy person. Josh does, but hopefully with better clothes and a better car.
Well, I thought that would be funny just to throw it in and see if you picked up on it. Plus, it ties us into our next segment. Speaking of our next segment, listeners, if you are interested in having a follow-up conversation, give us a call at Gulf Coast Financial Advisors. You can find us at 25, or you can call us at 251-327-2124, or again, find us on the website, gulfcoastfa.com, FA is in financialadvisor.com. On our site, there is a blue button in the upper right-hand corner. If you click that, that will put something on my calendar. There's three choices for meetings. You can do a 15-minute introductory phone call. You can do a 30-minute Zoom. Or our preference, let's do in-person meeting, any of our three office locations. That's downtown Fairhope. That's on Orange Beach. We're just down the road from the wharf. Or in Mobile, near the intersection of Dolphin Street and I-65. However you reach out to us, though, just go ahead and do it. We'd love to meet with you. All right, folks, coming up next, there's a lot going on in the world, particularly the world of finance, investments, and money.
And Olympics.
Every week, we scour the internet for financial articles relevant to those of you in or near retirement and give you our honest opinion about these headlines. So join us after the break to hear Michelle and I discuss this week's relevant headlines in our Headlines of the Week segment. Stay tuned.
A multidimensional financial services company, Providence Partners serves the needs of independent insurance, financial, and employee benefit professionals. The team at Providence Partners serves other business professionals like property and casualty agencies, registered investment advisors, community banks, and benefit brokers to assist in their clients' risk management planning. Whether an individual or business owner client, this planning includes income replacement protection, planning for extended healthcare costs, family needs, and generational transfers of wealth. At Providence Partners, we give you access to industry specialists. Those specialists focus on business succession, business owner planning, family and household protection, estate planning, planning for that income loss, or planning for long-term care solutions. Providence Partners is an Alabama-based company. We have offices in Birmingham and along the Gulf Coast. Our website is providencepartners.org, and you can reach us any of the working days.
Welcome back to Coasting in Retirement. Your host, Josh Knoll, here alongside co-host Michelle Lee Melton-Knoll.
Mm-hmm.
So as we discussed before the break, every week we scour the internet for financial articles that pertain to those of you in or near retirement. Our job, or at least we tell ourselves it is help you all understand how these headlines impact you, especially when it comes to your money. Now, quick note, if you want to read our referenced articles yourself, you can find the hyperlinks in our show transcript, which you can find on our website, gulfcoastfa.com. Just look under the podcast tab and find the previous episode that you want to go to. My son, Peyton Knoll, puts it up on the website after every airing every week. With all that said, without further ado, here is Michelle with the headlines of the week.
All right, Josh, our first article is from a guy that most certainly wears clothes he bought at Walmart. It's Stan the Annuity Man. He has an article titled, Don't Buy Annuity Stories, Shooting It Straight with Stan. This article is timely because annuity shops are kicking off free chicken dinner seminar season here along the Gulf Coast.
They are. The invites are going out.
Yeah, and they're dry. Yeah. It's dry chicken. And listeners, mailboxes are getting stuffed with said invites. Stan argues that too many retirees are buying into hypothetical, back-tested returns and the dream of market upside with no downside. He says that if an agent starts telling you a story about what a product might do, you should get up and walk out. I know you have people reach out asking you if they should attend one of these free dinner seminars. So what do you tell them?
Well, I mean, I tell them, you know, sure, why not? If it's usually good food at a nice place, right?
Yeah, but keep the storytelling to Hollywood or the stage.
Right. But I always tell them, you got to understand that if you do decide to go to this dinner seminar and and you schedule a follow-up meeting with the, you know, the quote-unquote advisor hosting the dinner seminar, you are 100% getting pitched a fixed index annuity at some point as a solution to all your retirement concerns.
We're walking proof because we go scout these out sometimes for funsies.
Yes, we have.
We're vegetarians.
We've gone undercover.
Pescatarians.
We've done it. We know exactly how this drill plays out. And here's the thing. The bad thing is we also know, Michelle, is a lot of the dinner seminar sales guys will not honor your invitation unless you agree to a follow-up appointment with them. So
to get that dry chicken, you've got to go to a meeting.
The bottom line
is be with them.
They'll be with a servicing advisor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times, you know, I hate to use the word ghosted, but once the ink is dried, folks, you got to watch these annuity shops because you will be.
You're at Bimini.
You'll start having sentinels to get through to talk to the guy that was so charming at the dinner seminar. But here's the bottom line. If an advisor / agent shows you a chart of how an annuity would have performed over the last 10 years, you and some proprietary AI-driven index, or maybe just a market index you've never heard of, they are showing you a piece of fiction, okay?
Correct.
They have designed, and probably they've designed a computer program to look backwards and pick kind of the winning lottery numbers from last week, if you will.
Yeah.
But it has zero bearing on what your money will do in the future. So in the office, we have kind of a general rule. We don't buy the maybe, we buy the will. We buy the WIL, what will happen, not what maybe happen. An annuity is a transfer of risk. It's not a get-rich-easy scheme. It's not a all upside, you know, total super high upside with no downside. There is some upside, but as we've laid out, even on the five contracts that I analyzed across multiple companies and multiple surrender periods, the best example I found in a completely strong bull market was 7.1%.
Nice.
And that was the outlier on those, right?
Okay.
On the annuity contracts. So the other ones, we had 4 or 5, and then, we had those dogs at 1.5. If you want market returns, the bottom line is you need to invest directly into the market. Now, of course, you need to invest in a way that's consistent with your risk tolerance, your time horizon, and, you know, Lord help me if I don't say that all investing involves risk. But if you want safety, then you buy contractual guarantees. The contractual guarantee part of the insurance contract is what matters, because as much as we pick on how these annuities are sold, the companies behind them, generally speaking, are reputable companies. I mean, you've got some really quality name brand, long-standing, decades if not centuries-long insurance companies backing these up. So what you want to look is what is that? Those companies are always going to be very, very careful on what they promise. And they're going to put what is actually contractually guaranteed in there. And they're hopefully going to make it as clear as they can, because if it isn't written in print on the contract, it does not exist. So as Michelle said, the story. Don't fall in love with the story the agent is telling you over a free filet mignon dinner. Instead, start reading the statement of understanding or whatever the contract says that it tells you exactly what you're getting into. And if you still don't understand what you're getting into, give us a call. 251-327-2124. Okay?
All right.
What's next?
Okay.
Oh, hold on. So you think Stan the Annuity Man wears clothes from Walmart? Is that what you just said earlier?
Yeah, maybe.
He looks like it.
The picture looked like it. It's like old members only, but it was a Walmart version or something. Even though members only is allegedly coming back.
I mean, you have to have a certain amount of confidence to call yourself Stan the
Annuity Man.
Yeah, I bet he's got a lot of self-awareness around this.
Okay. All right. So next up, a new report just came out from NerdWallet that breaks down exactly what the average American is paying for financial advice. This article lays out the most common ways that fee-for-service advisors get paid by clients, including assets under management fees, or AUM for short, flat fees, financial planning fees, and by the hour. It also confirms that the 1% AUM fee is still the industry standard, but it also highlights a growing frustration with investors. Uh-oh. Many retirees are realizing that they are paying that 1% fee on top of additional fees inside the mutual funds their advisor picked for them. The article asks a tough question. In a world where you can get an automated portfolio for almost nothing, why are investors still writing five-figure checks to advisors every year? Is the 1% fee a relic of the past, or is actually a bargain if you're getting the right help?
Yeah, so that's a great way to put it. It does depend. This is a good article because it hopefully, for those of y'all that will read it, it'll get entice you to take a look at your statement, your advisory statement, or your insurance contract statement, any of it, anything that involves your money. Remember, folks, at the end of the day, my industry is really, really good about making people feel guilty about asking questions about their own daggum money. It's your money.
Exactly. Ask the questions.
Yeah, so ask the questions. You want to look at the statements with a magnifying glass.
And if they don't want you to ask the questions, then get out the door.
100%. If they talk down to you, or they try to make you feel stupid.
Bye now.
Or they ignore your question, goodbye.
Bye, Felicia.
Now, we've already established that annuities tend to be, in this episode, that annuities tend to be on the expensive side. Again, to be fair, if they're in place to generate future income and guarantees and capital preservation, fine. Just quit selling them as they've got this real high upside. They don't, especially those with a long surrender period. But my side of the industry, the fee-for-service side, we, as Michelle laid out in this article, we have our own soft spots when it comes to how we get paid. Most people think that, you know, 1%, that sounds insignificant. But the truth is, in 1% in 2026, it is too much if all your advisor is doing is asset allocation. If your advisor, or more likely it's a broker posing as an advisor, but if your advisor is just putting you in a handful of mutual funds and calling you once or twice a year and emailing you once or twice a year and just telling you to stay the course and still charging you 1%, you are paying first-class price to sit in the economy section, period.
No, thank you.
In my opinion, in 2026 and beyond, and this is only going to become, there's only going to be more fee pressure on industry, it has to be earned through comprehensive, holistic financial planning. Is your advisor looking at tax loss harvesting? Are they coordinating with your CPA on how best to handle your tax situation to be proactive, not reactive? Are they talking to your estate planning attorneys on a regular basis? Are they assembling a low, you know, Michelle mentioned that a lot of times you had the advisory fee and the fund fees. Mm-hmm. That's actually relatively typical, but you can mitigate that by intentionally assembling a lower cost portfolio of individual stocks and ETFs where you're not paying the historically higher fees of an actively managed mutual fund, right?
All right.
And if they're doing none of the things I just listed, folks, you're not with an advisor. You're with a broker. And I hate to tell you this, but your broker is a dinosaur, and artificial intelligence is the asteroid heading for impact in our industry for those brokers. It's coming. I mean, it's coming quick.
Ka-koosh.
And if your guy and gal is not ahead of this, whew, I mean, I can't wait for a year from now to see where everything shakes out.
All right.
And it's gonna be, and I told you, Michelle, to be fair, it makes me nervous too. I mean,
sure. Yeah.
As you know, I am a generally speaking fairly paranoid person about protecting how I do things and making sure I'm ahead of stuff. And we are making sure we are incorporating AI to the best ability we can to our practice for tools to help us with our clients.
It's supposed to enhance, not replace.
That's right.
Okay. For our last article of the day, we're looking at a recent deep dive from Morningstar that sounds the alarm on fixed index annuity illustration.
Yeah, here we go again.
Storytelling. Right. For our listeners not familiar with that term, which you should be by now, an illustration is typically a colorful 20-plus page packet an agent hands you at a steakhouse seminar showing how your money could grow over the next 10 years. These illustrations are increasingly using what they call exotic indices.
You like that?
I do like that. And back-tested data, not so much. I don't like that one so much. To show double-digit returns that simply haven't happened in the real world. For example, the article points out that insurance companies are now creating indices with fancy names like the Global Alpha Multi-Strategy Volatility Yes.
Controlled index.
That's a mouthful, and that makes me say that's just suspect in and of itself.
That sounds like something you would see for a prescription drug
commercial
where they would tell you, hey, if your kidneys start failing, call a doctor. That's what
Anything with alpha in it, it's kind of dubious.
So global alpha multi-strategy.
That sounds
I've never heard of it. I've been doing this a while. Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
So doing something like that, that use an algorithm to look back at past data and say, if this index had existed in 2016, you would have made 12% a year. Who cares? But here's the kicker. The index didn't actually exist in 2016. It was just created a mere 6 months ago. They just mined the data to perform to find a pattern that worked in the past, putting silly index names to the side. Here's my question to you, Josh. If the illustration, storytelling, shows a low, medium, and high scenario, and even the low scenario looks better than the low returns on a savings account, should investors trust that or what?
Not necessarily. This article, Morningstar, found that even the quote-unquote low, or so let's back up. A lot of, if you get a full-blown illustration printout of an annuity.
All 20 pages?
Well, usually they're 50 or 60.
Wow.
But they'll have like, what's the, you know, what's a bad case scenario outcome? What's a medium case or median case? What's a great case scenario? All that stuff. Morningstar found that even in the low scenarios on these illustrations, they are often based on the 10-year period of that specifically made up index. so you're getting the low period of something that never happened.
Right. Neat.
It doesn't account for the fact that the insurance company, all this, here's the thing. If it does, if it's not the guaranteed rate in there, that's the only thing that actually matters. Now, to be fair, if you've got a reputable insurance company, you've got a modest surrender period, you've got clearly defined income needs and goals with a relatively affordable income rider, and all these things are in place, and you understand all the pieces going into making this pie, then fine. You know, then you can look at that, and a lot of times it will probably outperform the worst of the worst of the worst over time. But the thing you got to remember is that the insurance company can change your caps rates and your participation rates every single year. They can change the rules of the road as you're going through this.
Yeah.
Right.
That's unnerving.
It's very unnerving. And we see it all the time. I mean, every once in a great while, you'll see something coming in where they actually do something that benefits the clients, because usually they're in a competitive situation. But I can tell you,
only once in a while.
And it usually gets my attention. It's like, oh, that's unusual. Because usually we get something where it says, oh, this stuff's going to actually go get a little bit worse for you. Sorry. So, you know, the thing is, if you can't live with this piece of investment that you're trying to put in this annuity, if you can't live with the worst case contractual guarantee, which to be honest with you, usually is 0% year after year, then you just don't need to sign. That illustration is probably just a fairy tale, and you need to step away before you sign it, right? So does that make sense, Michelle?
Yeah.
On all that?
Yeah. I mean, I've been through it, so I've seen it.
You have, right. Yes. And especially we're going on 3+ years in the show. You've seen all of these things where it's not just me having a chip on my shoulder. It's these are, as we said in the beginning, Mark Twain said, there's lies, there's darn lies, and then there's statistics. These are statistics. And for any of you, you know, insurance, any of you annuity guys that want to get in the ring here, I got these contracts right here with me. You can show me where I'm getting it wrong, but I know how to do math. I'm actually really good at math. So
I'm not. I went to law school, lawyers.
Well, I went to the Harvard of the Midwest, Missouri State. All right. Well, listeners, if you want to set up a conversation with us here at Gulf Coast Financial Advisors, it is easy. Give us a call, 251-327-2124, or find us on the website, gulfcoastfa.com. FA is a financial advisor. Once again, on that site, there is a blue button in the upper right-hand corner. That'll put something on my calendar. It can be a 15-minute phone call. It can be a 30-minute Zoom. Or again, my preference, let's meet in person, free, no obligation. There's no cost. There's no nonsense. We're just going to meet and talk and see if we can leave you better than we found you. We have 3 office locations. We're in downtown Fairhope. We're in the Portico development. We're in Orange Beach. We're just right down the road from the wharf. And we have another office in Mobile near the intersection of Dolphin Street and I-65. Make sure you all reach out to us. We'd love to meet with you. All right, folks, coming up next, Josh's Crystal Ball and Big Mouth. What have been some of my predictions? Have I been right? Was I ever wrong? How wrong? What do I think is going to affect investors in the near future or maybe the distant future? We talk about all these things and poke a little fun at my big mouth. Stay tuned. Whether it's building a business from scratch with your own two hands and wanting to maximize the financial impact of those sacrifices, or growing a great nest egg by being a dedicated and reliable worker for years, or choosing to live a life well within your means in order to accomplish a lifelong dream of retirement, the last thing you want is to go with the wrong financial advice after you've worked so hard to accumulate your assets. You've also probably spent most of your life putting others' needs ahead of your own, and now it's your turn. We can help. Gulf Coast Financial Advisors is a locally owned, independent, fee-based financial planning, investment management, and tax planning practice. We have offices in Fairhope and Orange Beach. We serve all of Baldwin County and the Gulf Coast. We also have an easy-to-understand fee-for-service model with no sales quotas, no proprietary products. Our ultimate responsibility is to our clients' goals and dreams. You can reach us at 251-327-2124 or find us online at gulfcoastfa.com. That's G-U-L-F, like the Gulf of Mexico, Coast, F-A as in financialadvisor.com. Welcome back. Your host, Josh Knoll here, joined by co-host Michelle Lee Melton-Knoll. So, Michelle, I'm opinionated. I have strong opinions at times. I would say a radio show host that isn't opinionated, especially in this one. I mean, I feel bad because I really did kind of pick on the new guys, right?
Well, I wouldn't feel bad.
I do a little bit because, I mean, there's...
Good for you.
There's some good people in the industry.
Right? Yeah, I mean...
What I'm telling you all...
You disclose that.
What I'm telling you is generally... It's kind of the outlier.
The warning signs.
Yes. It's kind of like, I hate to say this, but you know, it's kind of like car sales.
Right.
I mean, the majority of the car people, the guys and gals selling cars, they're good people just trying to make a living, giving you a car, and they want your repeat customers and all
Chicken
that.
Chicken tires, lighting
and
fires.
And then there's the guys that try to tell you that you're, Mini Cooper is the most reliable car on earth and it will
that
never break down.
That person is a liar.
You're right.
I mean.
So anyway, I love to make predictions and, you know, most of the time I'm right anyway, but sometimes I swing and miss. Is there any crow to eat? Let's get out with Josh's crystal ball and big mouth. In fact, I think this one I actually hit it pretty well. But
We rewound to the 2024 archives to do some research of what you had to say about crypto and AI. And I must say, you were actually pretty adamant with your prediction.
Yeah.
You told investors that crypto was a, quote, speculative gambling distraction, unquote.
Nice. Finer words have never been spoken
I'm telling
there.
You. And that AI could possibly be a structural shift that actually mattered for their retirement assets. So here we are, fast forward 2 years later. Let's take a look at the scoreboard from February 2024 to February 2026. If an investor bought Bitcoin 2 years ago at $44,000, they've had a wild ride since then. Bitcoin hit $126,000 last year, but since then, the Fed went hawkish and the market fled super risky assets, and Bitcoin has plummeted nearly 50% from that peak, moving right back down in the $65,000 to $66,000 range.
Which I think even that number is suspect, but keep going.
Right, I agree. Yeah. Okay, compare that to AI. While the crypto bro was all about the digital gold of crypto, AI companies like NVIDIA were actually busy making money, and a lot of it, with their stock up over 900% since the beginning of 2023, and annual revenue up by over 114%. In fiscal 2025. Why do you think you were so accurate in your prediction, and what's your crystal ball got to say about this trend continuing?
Now, listen, so NVIDIA, we don't know if NVIDIA is going to keep on a run or not, right? So
I think they will.
Who knows?
That's my prediction.
But here's the thing. Sometimes you can overthink all of this.
Sure.
If you had done nothing more than buy an S&P 500 index fund, nothing more, and ignored crypto over the last two years, you would have at least, if the only company that performed well in the S&P 500, and
maybe
a lot of them did,
you would have
automatically participated about 5 to 7-ish% of your S&P 500 index fund would have been in NVIDIA. Consequently, you would have got a piece of that upper gain. Instead of doing all this complicated nonsense that just makes it, it's just
stressful.
A waste of time. And here's, so my big mouth, my crystal ball, and here's what I'm really proud about. In 2024, in 2024, AI was nothing more than a chatbot that could write a poem, right? In 2026, we have agentic AI, which is actually do bots that can actually do things. We're starting to test them out at Gulf Coast Financial Advisors. We have, there are AI agents right now. They're doing tax loss harvesting. They're managing business supply chains. And I don't know this firsthand, Michelle, but according to the research we did, some surgeons are even getting some assistance from AI with some degree of accuracy, right?
Really?
I think they're asking questions.
Well, there's robots that do surgery, for sure.
They're asking questions as they go through, right? Mm. Crypto promised to, quote unquote, revolutionize finance. But in 2026, prove me wrong, you still cannot buy a gallon of milk with Bitcoin at Publix without a 15-minute, 20-minute wait and a tax nightmare. Prove me wrong.
Yeah.
AI, on the other hand.
Can you even do that?
According to our research, can we wave it over with our app on the phone? We'll have to try. Well, I don't even own Bitcoin.
We don't Bitcoin, though.
Yeah, that's true. It's really heavy. Anyway,
chassis.
Point
but
by way of comparison, AI has become almost like a utility, right? It is the engine behind the productivity boom that is keeping our stock market afloat, even despite some of the higher interest rates that we've had to work through. Crypto is a lottery ticket. AI is infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm saying that, not telling you I'm just a huge fan of AI, because I think there's going to be a gigantic backlash when it comes to the labor market.
I'm not a huge fan.
If it takes even 10%, 20% of the jobs now, and it does it quickly, we got a big problem. But this show is specifically for you of all that are trying to invest wisely for your retirement, your pre-retiree or retiree. And what I'm telling you is, if you had listened to me back in 2024 and moved your focus to the companies building the world of 2026, your portfolio would be a lot healthier and probably, Crypto Bro, you know I'm telling the truth, your blood pressure would be a lot lower than the guy that's still waiting for the next, you know, to the moon crypto bubble, right?
Yeah.
So just sometimes you can overthink this stuff. Invest in good companies, well-known companies that have a purpose, whether they're growth mode or they're profit-oriented, distributing dividends, preferred stock. They're companies that actually have legitimate revenue and a product and professional management, as opposed to doing what I consider, you know, digital beanie babies, greater fool theory of investing. And yes, we got to watch out for AI, but from an investor standpoint, AI was a huge home run in the stock market. All right. Very good. Is that it?
Yes.
All right. Well, listeners, I hope you enjoyed a little peek on how we form our opinions and make predictions. We invite you one last time. If you'd like to have a no pressure, no obligation conversation with us, give us a call, 251-327-2124, or find us on the website, GulfCoastFA.com. Be sure to click that upper right-hand corner blue button and put some type of meeting or phone call or Zoom on our calendar. You can meet us in person, three offices, downtown Fairhope, Orange Beach, and Mobile, and coming soon, Michelle, Texas. Well, now we'll save that for next time.
That's right.
Right. All right. Well, that is our show for the week. I want to give a huge thank you to my lovely co-host, Michelle Lee Melton Knoll.
You're welcome.
Thank you to the producer of the show. That is my son, Peyton Knoll. Thank you to our show sponsor. That is Providence Partners with Mr. J. Stubbs. Thank you to our awesome radio station. That is FM Talk 106.5 out of Mobile. Many thanks to the provider of our show music. That is local band and Michelle's favorite animal, Sloth Racer. And as always, my sincere appreciation to all of you out there that have been listening and joining us on this journey. We'd love to be a part of your journey as well. Till we talk again, have a wonderful and productive week. This has been Coasting Retirement with Josh Knoll. Gulf Coast Financial Advisors, LLC, known as GCFA, is a registered investment advisor offering advisory services in the state of Alabama and in such other jurisdictions where it is registered, filed the required notices, or is otherwise excluded or exempted from such registration and or notice filing requirements. Registration does not indicate or imply that GCFA has attained a particular level of skill or ability, nor does it constitute an endorsement of the firm by the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, or any other state securities regulator. The Coasting in Retirement radio program serves mainly to disseminate general information, including those pertaining to GCFA's advisory services, together with access to additional investment-related information, publications, materials, and links. The publication of this radio show should not be construed by any client and or prospective client as GCFA's solicitation to affect or attempt to affect transactions and securities, nor should be interpreted as GCFA providing personalized investment advice or any type of professional advice or compensation wherever this program is broadcast. Any subsequent direct communication by GCFA with a prospective client will be conducted by a representative that is either registered or qualifies for an exemption or exclusion from registration in the state where the prospective client resides. Certain information, news stories, headlines, data, charts, graphs, figures, or statistics presented on this radio program may have been obtained from third-party sources that are believed to be generally reliable, but which GCFA may not have independently verified. GCFA does not and cannot guarantee the timeliness, accuracy, or reliability of any such third-party information and undertakes no obligation to update or correct any information that may become obsolete, unreliable, or inaccurate. This radio program also contains the opinions, views, and perspectives expressed by Josh Knoll and any other GCFA representative, which are solely their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions, views, or perspectives of GCFA as a firm. Such personal views and opinions should not be construed as endorsements or professional advice from GCFA. GCFA makes no representation or warranty regarding the accuracy, completeness, or reliability of any information on this radio program and disclaims any liability for any direct or indirect loss or damage incurred from using or relying on such information. GCFA and Providence Partners are not affiliated, nor are any of their respective representatives.